Thanks for coming tonight. I'm very happy to present my film here. The film was finished last year and had a premiere last year, and New York City premiere was just in August during the Asian American Film Festival. And this is the second New York City screening, so I'm very excited. And I present about 5 minutes of this documentary back in 2003 here at the AAARI with talk about Anna Mae Wong's life. So that was 2003, and now I'm presenting the finished documentary, so I'm very happy about it. And as some of you already know, that Anna Mae Wong lived most of her life in L.A. I mean, she traveled a lot, as you see in the documentary, but especially in 1930s and 40s, she came to New York quite often. She had a lot of friends here, and so New York City was her, in a way, her home away from home. So I'm sure she'll be very pleased when she finds out we're having a New York City screening. That's something I want to mention. And but enjoy the film, and I'll do the Q&A afterward. Thank you. I was born in Seoul, Korea, and grew up there. And then I moved to New York in 1985 to continue my study. And not long after I moved to New York, I saw one of Anna Mae Wong's film. And she made a really big impression on me. She was very strong, independent-looking woman, and very modern. That's the first impression I got from her. Not like a woman that I know while growing up in Korea. And she's actually the same age as my maternal grandmother. And I was just fascinated about her. So I did a little, you know, research about her in local library, but not much, basically about her career. That's what I get to know her. But many, many years she occupied my mind. I was a fan of her film. And then I started making my own short videos around 1990. And then around 2000, I had an opportunity to make a short documentary called Becoming an Actress in New York. This is a short documentary about basically following three Korean-American actresses who just starting to walk in, trying to make it in, I guess, acting profession in New York. And this is before the reality television took off in America. And it's only 32 minutes, a really short film. And when I finished the film, I realized what this actress are facing is not much different than Anna Mae Wong's time in 1920s and 30s. So I decided to do some research, really, about Anna Mae Wong. So I went to the library and figured out a lot of information. And I found this old photograph of Anna Mae Wong, possibly before she became a film star. It was her teenage years. And I was surprised because she was just pretty much looked like a girl next door, you know, healthy, happy, young teenager. And that picture, again, struck me because the images that I know from a film was very different, you know, very sophisticated, polished woman you've been seeing in the documentary, all her films. So I figure, oh, there got to be a really interesting story from her girl next door to this accomplished actress. So I decided to make a documentary. And then I started shooting interviews, and finally I finished the film last year. So that's the backstory I want to share with you. And I want to broadcast this documentary on PBS, and this was funded by Center for Asian American Media in San Francisco. They are kind of an offshoot of a corporation for public broadcasting. So I'm still raising funding, believe it or not. So I have a donation form here, so if you like to to contribute, you can talk to me afterward. I can give you the donation form, or if you know somebody who could help me, that would be really helpful. Okay, I'll take the questions. Yes?
How is anime long thought of in modern China?
Gee. one thing I can tell you is when Anna May Wong visited China in 1936, she actually wrote a kind of travelogue on New York Times. I mean, not New York Times, New York Herald Tribune. So she, it's like her impression of a place that she visited, mainly Shanghai and Beijing, things like that. So I cannot really summarize everything, but she had a little hard time when she arrived there, a little hostile, because both communists and also people from Kuomintang, they weren't very welcoming. But the fan was very happy to see her. So a lot of fans are awaiting her. So it's a kind of, again, movie star versus politics. And so she kind of wrote about her impression, and then she actually stayed there for 9 months, almost whole year. So there were like a 6 article by her with a little picture in New York Herald Tribune. If you dig it out, I can give you detail later where you can find it, but you get a sense of what she felt. But she's pretty honest, and you know. Yes.
What gave you the idea of using an actress to portray anime?
Yeah, this was an idea that I had from the beginning. The main reason was Anna May Wong died in 1961, and I started shooting year 2002. There's no way I can interview her, but I want to present her in her own word. So I think probably the best way will be use an actress to use her word to do it. And because I have a couple really close actor friends, one thing I know is an actor really understands another actor. So if it's a good actress, she could do it. And so I did a casting here in New York. I couldn't find anybody, so I went to LA. I did another audition with a friend of mine who's an actor, well-known Japanese actor, actually, Japanese-American actor. So I did a audition CD and trying to show other people to get a feedback. But I couldn't make up my mind. And then the actress I hired, Duane, she was actually away while I was doing an audition. And her manager just called me that she wants to come and try the audition. So I figure maybe I should give a chance to this person. And then there's another young actress who contacted me, sent a photograph, her headshot, and she looked really like a young Anna May Wong. So I was actually interested in young woman. So I asked two actresses to come to see me for audition. But when Duane started reading the material that I give her, she's just so good. I felt like, oh my God, this is an actress. This is the actress I'm looking for. And then the other young actress looked quite like a young Anna May Wong, but she wasn't very experienced. So I make up my mind, and then I added Duane's audition to my CD and showed to other people, and a lot of people agreed. So I ended up working with Duane, and I give a lot of information about Anna May Wong to prepare, and I told her, I show her film too, but I told her, because as you see it in a film, Anna May Wong has a slight British accent, also very distinguished way of talking, but that's probably she was doing a film. I don't think in person she would talk like that, so we kind of discuss about that, and then I give her freedom for her to really explore it, and then she come up with, I guess, certain kind of style that not quite, you know, Anna May Wong like in a way in her own to do that. And we did a makeup test, and we use a 2 different week to look alike. And I think a makeup has helped a lot to look alike. And also the director of photography and the lighting, we kind of set it off certain angles that look a lot like her. Yeah. Over there.
At any point during the parts of the film where she's singing, is that actually Anna's wrong voice or is it?
No.
It's not. Are there any recordings of her?
No, unfortunately, there's no recording of Anna Mae Wong, and the song that I used was from actually her cabaret program, but there's no recording. So I kind of guessing maybe she wasn't that good, but she was a still very popular choice attraction. That's why she did tour in Europe and even Australia and New Zealand. Yes, here.
Okay. First, thank you for making such a beautiful movie about Anna Mae Wong.
Thank you.
Carrying on her legacy. I was also going to ask about whether there were any other audio recordings of her, because there's a little snippet in the section where she's narrating about going back to China to see her father. Mm-hmm. That. But is there anything more about her?
That actually aired on NBC television in 1956, and it's actually a half an hour program. I only use a little bit of it. So you can hear the host ask a question, she answer, and also the her China trip is all narrated by her. So you can hear her actually talking. And then she did a radio show in 1930s. During it's called Mercury Theater, and it was actually produced like Orson Welles, and she did played a role that it's actually Pearl Buck's wanna play. So I actually don't have a copy of it, so I don't know I can recommend it. But that's the only thing other than her film that we know that exists. It's her voice.
Like radio interviews or anything like that?
No, there's no radio interview. It's just the play that she did.
No, I understand that.
Yeah.
I would have thought because she was a movie star, she might have
right.
interviews somewhere along the way.
Yeah, I actually spent quite a lot of time on BBC, contacting BBC, because she did a radio interview in early 30s, but they don't have any copy for some reason.
And does any of her family still around or
yes.
contact them?
Her brother, youngest brother, just passed away like last year or year before. So there's a family. I mean, he was the youngest among the whole her family, and he passed away. But he has children, so they might have something. Yeah. Yes.
Early this year, I saw two films starring Anna Mae Wong, war films made during the war, Bombs Over Burma and Lady from Chongqing.
Mm-hmm.
What impressed me about them, they were very low-budget films, but she was the lead. She was the protagonist, the hero.
Mm-hmm.
And she plays a Chinese patriot and a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And there isn't a trace of stereotype in the film. And I get the suspicion out of watching that this is probably closer to what she was really like than all the other more exotic roles she played. And they were made around 1942 to 43. Did you look at these films?
Yes.
Did you consider them using clips from them for your production?
Yeah, I did watch those two films. And I mean, there's so many films that you would like to put it in the film, but my best hope is I want to broadcast on television so more people get to know about her story. So I had this format that I have to fit in, so I take it out a lot of information that I could add it on. But those films, I do agree, because it's such a low-budget film during the wartime with the war propaganda. It was done quite, some ways, very realistic in reflecting the wartime. But I ended up not using, yes.
They were also the only Hollywood films I've seen that attempted to tell a war story from a Chinese point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other films about the war in China that you had an American hero like John Wayne and like Flying Tiger.
Right.
Films seem to be the only ones I've seen that had that, the semblance of a Chinese point of view during the war.
Also, the reason why it was because it was produced by an independent producer. It wasn't studio film. So it's a very, some ways, liberating, yeah. Yes?
All your research and reading of all those letters, did she have a personal life?
Yes. Well, I guess my main focus is her career and some of major event in her life that in a way affects her career. That's what I'm trying to bring in. But she had a quite an interesting life and a lot of friends and, you know, lots of personal life. Yes.
Yeah, following up on that question as well, and not to make a big sensational issue out of this because her career is so amazing and resonant to this day, but in fact she died at such a young age of 56, from what I understand is a liver-related disease, brought on perhaps by alcoholism. Is that something we know or don't know?
My understanding of her, I guess, relatively young age, dying at the young, relatively young age is, I think, stress, in a way. Liver disease, a lot of it is stress. Because her father lived up to 90, and her sisters, and she seems like have a good gene, you know. But then she died at age at the 56. Being an actress is, you know, it's not an easy profession, and I think a lot of it is a stress. And also, last 10 years of her life, she was not in a good health. So by 1950, when she almost retired, she was not in a good health. So it's kind of declining, and then she died. Yeah. Yes, in the back. Actually, trying to find more people who knew her in person, in terms of work, and was really hard because a lot of people died. Because you know, she died in 1961, and then actually a lot of people, her sister lived up to 1990, but I wasn't start shooting it back then, and so it was actually very time consuming work to find people. And but I start out with like historians that who did some work on Anna May Wong, so interviewing those people and then get more information and then sending out more letters to people who might know her in person. And you know, some interviewed, you know, it took a couple of years because I keep sending a letter, then I responding it. And some people sometimes return the letter. I don't know why. And but sometimes being a documentary filmmaker, no is not an answer. So you have to pursue it. So, for instance, like executive from Paramount, he knew Anna May Wong since he was a teenager. And I keep sending him a letter by FedEx, and I never heard from him. And then one day, I got a phone from his secretary. And the reason the secretary answered my letter was, she's from Brooklyn. I live in Brooklyn. And she saw the address, and then she opened up and then read a letter. And then she figured, oh, maybe I can help this person. So she phoned me and then asked some questions, so I answered. And then it was very easy to set it up, but it took me a couple of years to get that. And then there's a one person could have been really, really crucial for this film. It was Anna May Wong's confidant. She was a writer. And I found that she was in a nursing home, so I was so excited, and then sent an email to the nursing home's director. And then next morning I found out she passed away 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Things like like that. And then some people told me that they know, you know, they met her in Shanghai, things like that. And I said, oh, can we have an interview? And then they don't want to really talk about too much. I guess maybe they don't really know that much personal level. So they decline. And there are a couple people they knew, Anna-Mae Wong, for a long time in California in their 90s, but they don't really want to talk about too much because maybe because of friendship they have. I can't understand that part. And yeah, there are a lot of opportunity could have been better to make this film stronger, but sometimes, you know, this is the reality. Yes.
Susan Ahn Cuddy, one of those people. How is she related to Philip Ahn? I'm guessing his sister.
Yeah, youngest sister, one of the youngest sisters. Philip Ahn is the oldest in his family, and she's one of the youngest. And by the time she was visiting Anna-Mae Wong's home, because their friend, Anna-Mae Wong already left home. So she doesn't know that much in that when she was younger. And then later on in 1930s and 40s, when Anna-Mae Wong did a lot of fundraising for Chinese American community, Philip Ahn's father was an independent fighter for Korea. So his wife, Helen Ahn, hold a lot of fundraising for independent movement in Korea. So good thing was Anna-Mae Wong came to those events and present Korean flag to her, things like that. So she did help a lot of community, even like Korean American community too. Yeah. In the back. Yes.
I can understand why you want to focus on her career or professional life, but my only concern a little bit is that by not talking more directly about her personal life, it sort of subtly undermines her isolation. It's harder to place her, you know, as a full person in the range of all the relationships. So I'm just going to ask you.
But I can tell you, she had a really full life in 20s and 30s. You know, being an actress is a one thing, but also she was a very cultivated person. She likes to read. And when she come to New York, she socialized with the intellectuals in New York City and artists. It wasn't just a Hollywood community she was communicating with. So she had a lot of friendship with artists and, you know, well-known people. And I mentioned one lover she had, British writer, but she had a lot of lovers in her life. I would say she had a very interesting life, full life. Again, it's a limit of 1 hour documentary. If somebody wants to explore her more personal life, anybody can do that, and it could be even longer, maybe 2 hour movie about her personal life and, you know, a lot of things. And even if you want to focus, I got a question very frequently, how come you didn't deal with Anna-Mae Wong's sexuality? I said that was not my priority. And even focusing on that could easily make a feature film. So.
I was fascinated by the fact that she had Walter Benjamin. Mm-hmm. I wondered what the source of that.
Yeah, because Walter Benjamin was a journalist first. You know, now we know him as a major philosopher of 20th century, but he was a journalist working in Berlin. And he must be really interested in film, and he must watch all her film. So when she came to make a movie in 1928 in Berlin, he contacted her and interviewed her. And those little interview he did was included in his collective writing. It's a book, pretty big, but what I found was actually it's still not translated to English. Some of his writings translated to English in a series, but this one, this information that I got, is not translated at all. It's still German, so I have to ask somebody to translate for me. But that was included in some of the collective writings, and I think he was just a fan of her film and curious about how this Chinese American. I mean, more like an American woman coming to Berlin and doing this film. So he interviewed her, and they just met as a journalist and actress. There's nothing more than that. And now, because he's such an influential philosopher, that she even met him, it's a big deal because he's such a big figure. But sometimes, you know, like a Paris in Berlin in those time when she was there, 1928 through 1930, it's a smaller circle than now it is. So if you are somebody, you go to party, you meet somebody, and, you know, go backstage, you greet other people, it's very easy. The one with the pink. Yeah. Yes.
When she went to China, the nationalists and the communists criticized her for the role she was playing. What is your opinion? What would you say in general about the role that she played?
No, I mean, she's an actress. She didn't write a script. She was an actress playing a role, you know, one of those films. And blaming for the role that she played could be, to me, a little out of context. Also, there's even a strike. I mean, not strike, what do you say? Demonstration before Shanghai Express opened in Shanghai back in 1932, led by American educated film director Hong Chen. And to me, as a film fan, you don't you can be confused about actress role, I mean the role the actor play, and the person. It's just a two different thing. And what she did, a lot of film, like especially early film, I think she actually contributed a lot to the film because she was very authentic looking Chinese. A lot of Asian role lead was played by a white or Occidental actor wearing a yellow makeup, where this is a really 100% Chinese woman playing the role. And she, you know, all the hairs and everything, I think she did it correctly. And some of the costume that designed by Edith Head in the 30s by Paramount, some dress, I agree that it wasn't authentic Chinese clothes. But that's the Hollywood. Hollywood is where every culture come in, like American culture, and then they create their own culture through the Hollywood, through the movie. And that's what we also good at selling outside America, all this pop culture and Hollywood movie. And you can blame actress for that. And authenticity is, you can't expect that from Hollywood. If it's Chinese film, she was doing it, and the costume was too modern, that's the problem. But this is a movie that was done in Hollywood, and that's something I don't think I will agree. And even though there's this, the nationalists and communists were conflict about Anna May Wong's visit, fans are waiting for her. They saw her film. They loved her. So I think, to me, fan counts more than the ideological difference that people... I mean, they could use to their own benefit either way, you know. Yes?
I think maybe touching on what you said, she didn't have a choice. What she was offered, if she wanted to work as an actress in Hollywood at that time, she had to choose what they offered her because there was nothing else for her to do. And that's obviously what she wanted, I think. But what I wanted to know is, in your research, did you find discrimination in what she did? Did you ever find out how much she got paid in comparison to other white actresses, what kind of money she made throughout her career? She made a lot of films, but was she wealthy when she died? Did she have money?
Yeah, she made a lot of money. But again, the pay she got compared to somebody like Marina Dietrich, it's like Anna May Wong only paid one-tenth of what Marina Dietrich was paid. But still, Adame Wong makes tons of money. A lot of money. She paid for all her siblings' college education. Things like that. She really contributed a lot to her family too. And by the time she died, I don't know exact amount. I don't quite remember, but she actually sold the house because there's a development of happening. So she has to sold the house. It was a really big house. And they moved to apartment, and she gave most of her money to her youngest brother, who was living with her like last 20 years of her life. So she had money, and she almost retired in late night after, right around World War II. And then she did some TV as more like a character actress, not as a lead. But last, I would say, almost 20 years of her life, she wasn't really walking, but she had a comfortable life, so. Yes?
What was the year that she appeared on Broadway?
That was, first was 1930, on the spot, the theater walk, yes. Yes?
And did she have an agent?
Yes, she did. She had a manager and agent. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Well, I know it took a very long time to do the research and actually put the film together. And so I would like to ask, there's a whole process of making the film. What have you learned? And also from this film, what did you learn?
What I learned about making this film is she is such a courageous woman, ahead of time, way, way ahead of her time in terms of many, many reasons. And it's really inspiring for young people to know there is this woman who, think about 1920s and 30s, there are not many Asian people. And again, most of our Asian roles were played by Caucasian or Occidental actor with makeup. And this woman had a really big dream to be a star. She started really young, almost like a child actor as a extra, and then move on to a lead role when she was only 17. But again, it's not just her beauty or talent that made her accomplish this much. I think it's her, you know, brain power and passion that she really worked hard, pushed the boundaries. I mean, think about even she did cabaret act that she might be a mediocre singer, but she did it. That's the courage. You're doing it. And because in film you have very limited roles, so she was doing cabaret, you know, joking and doing dance and singing. She's telling everybody, look at me, you know, what I can do. That's, I think it's really, really courageous and just such a beautiful act. And I think she's an artist. If you're not an artist, you can't do those kind of things. And also again, when MGM didn't cast her on Good Earth, she went to China and she hired a cameraman to shoot all her trips and recording all that things. Like, again, look at me, what I can do. If you don't cast me on Good Earth, I can do my own film. That I think she's just such a brilliant, some ways, businesswoman and also a great actress. So to me, like, all that, you know, that because she made such a many films, more than 58 and all that theater work and those things, you can just do it in just talent. It's really years of dedication and passion and networking. I want to emphasize that. So I really respect her a lot. And I want young people, especially young people, can, you know, you can dream whatever you want to do and then really pursue it. Look at this woman, made example. Yes.
interested to know, like, what kind of audience do you want for your documentary?
Anybody can see this documentary, you know, your whatever, yellow, red, whatever, because she's such an interesting person to me. And so that's why I want to broadcast on television, PBS, free, no cables. And because I want to do more outreach program with the young people, especially Asian American or other minority, that here, this is example of how this woman pursue her dream. So that's one of my sub-contexts. But Hollywood is difficult to say because I'm an independent filmmaker living in New York. I'm not a filmmaker making, you know, $1 million budget film in Hollywood because it's a different game. You know, it's like a baseball. It's a different league. And one thing I can tell you is it's not just an actress. One film is made in Hollywood is because there's so much money involved. You have to have a good, you know, script about interesting Asian or Asian American story, and then you have to have a very courageous producer who wants to produce this film. And then you need a star who could star in this film, box office star, and all these three things working, then you have a big Hollywood budget film with the Asian American story. It's not easy because Asian Americans are 5% of American population. We are still minority. And film, again, Hollywood, they're aiming for worldwide market, not just U.S. They want to sell the film. If you make one film, you have to recoup in all different territory, you know, not just North America, South America, Asia, Europe, everywhere. So again, it's a different game, and I don't want to be too critical about Hollywood because without Hollywood, Anime One couldn't exist. Yeah. I mean, it's like a double-edged sword. She had a limitation, that's why she went to Europe. But then when she went to Europe, she reached the stardom. She realized European films not distributed like Hollywood film. Has a very limited distribution, even though the quality of film and the storytelling is a lot more interesting. You know, you can't really compare with Hollywood film. That's the main reason she came back. So it's a different thing. Yes.
Are many or most or some the volume of the work, are they on DVDs or?
Not really. Yeah, only.
Is available to us.
Yeah, only film that produce DVD among Anime Wong's film are two. One is Piccadilly that distributed by BFI and American distributor, and also Toll of the Sea that might came to the market, but I don't know yet. But those are two popular DVD you can possibly buy. And most of our film, Shanghai Express, you can rent it on DVD stores, but a lot of films are actually kind of illegal copies, and a lot of film, European film, especially is all in BFI collection. You can contact them, and you can buy it, but they have the right European film, but American film. I think Shanghai Express might be only one that commercially available. Nothing is not available yet. Yes. Yes.
Communist China and then China, they criticized anime one because of the role that they portrayed then.
Mm-hmm.
Now in 2011, mm-hmm. how do you think China will act? Do they feel proud of being the first Asian American to be starring in a Hollywood movie? Or do they still criticize her now in 2011 because of the role that they portrayed now?
Yeah, I don't know I can answer that because this film hasn't shown in China yet. So I will be curious to know when it has a screening, how it's going to be received, and I'll find more about how they're going to see her. But I'm sure when they know about her story, they will be proud.
How well known is her in China?
In 30s, she was pretty well known because her films were introduced in 20s and there are articles written about her in 20s in newspapers and magazines. And 30s, very popular. But then after, 1948, I think, pretty much those private journal didn't exist anymore. And so probably some of Chinese people probably don't know about her much, but then if this documentary will be shown in China, there will be a maybe kind of revival of her popular interest, yes. Yes, that's about it. Okay, thank you very much.